There was an idea called the Nerd Initiative. The idea was to bring together a group of remarkable people, see if they could become something more. See if they could work together when we needed them to fight the battles that we never could.
What's up, folks? Leo here with the Nerd Initiative, bringing you episode 6 of our podcast. We got Mr. Heavy Kev in the building. Actually on the Skype, but we got Kev joining us again. What's up, Kev?
Hey, what's going on, Leland? How you doing, man?
Good, good. Our intentions were to record earlier this week, but both of our lives got kickstarted real quick. So we were pretty busy from, I think we were going to record on Sunday, but our usual Sunday recording, but things, we just got caught up with too much stuff. So we're going to kind of recap some stuff for the week. Excuse me. And of course our usual Walking Dead talk. Kevin, anything going on your end? New?
No, I got some things brewing right now. Starting up a YouTube channel with some other fellow nerds, I guess you could say. That's going to be coming up probably the beginning of the year, next year. And when I say beginning, more like March. And that's about it right now as far as gaming goes. I have not hopped on World of Warcraft yet, which kind of irritates me. Because yeah. like you said, we're grown nerds.
Yep.
With responsibilities and families and things like that. So it's not like, even though our passion is anything geek or right. related, no, we can geek out on, is unfortunately we have responsibilities and.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yet, which kind of irritates me.
Yeah. No, I mean, speaking of, you know, being old, I was with one of my buddies yesterday and, we were talking about one of our old. I was letting him hear one of our podcasts. You weren't on it, but we were talking about the Marvel schedule for the Marvel films and stuff like that. And you know, looking at the years that these are being released with their lineup, you know, they were up until like 2018 or something. And yeah. We're like, man, you know, we're gonna be over 40 when let's just say Guardians of the Galaxy. Like Avengers 3
right,
comes
yeah.
out, we're going to be over 40, probably close to 50, you know, and we're just laughing about that, like, geez, you know, we're going to be old when that stuff comes out.
Yeah, exactly, man. I mean, I think that's the crazy thing about, like, so I know you probably get this a lot, but people don't think I look my age, but at the same time, they don't think I act my age either.
Right. Right.
Because they go, wow, so like I'll be good goofing off. Like I like Glee a lot. Like I'm a Glee nerd. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't make no dang sense because, you know, I don't know if you can hear in our dialect. We don't really talk like, oh my God, did you hear Glee came out? You know?
Yeah.
Like I totally can't believe Finch would do that. You know? So we don't talk like that at the same time. So we're not your typical audience either when it comes to things that we geek out on, you know?
Right.
So I think that helps keep us youthful, too, because, like, we'll go to stores. I don't know if you do this when you go try to buy, like, some collectibles, action figure collectibles. We don't call them dolls
right.
or toys, right?
Yep.
I'll go to the store and go, oh, this is cool. I go, yeah, this is my nephew, you know. I have to get to that point where I have to say, it's for my nephew. It's for my son.
Oh, yeah, so, no. I don't know. When I go and I pick up stuff from the, you know, like, a collectible, you know, I don't have a problem admitting it's for me. Yeah. You know, if it's something that's like, of course, for my son and it really is for him, then yeah. But let's go ahead and get started because
right.
What you just said, what you just brought up, you know, is kind of news for this week. We're going to do a recap of some of the stuff going, you know, that either was announced this week or anything, you know, interesting that has happened since our last episode that we recorded. You were talking about Glee.
Right.
This week, they actually released the official trailer and teaser poster. I have that posted on the website.
Right.
For Pitch Perfect 2.
Yeah, I'm kind of excited about that.
Yeah, you're a little background about Kevin is, you know, he's what would you call it? A singer?
Yeah, or I guess you would have to.
A singer, a performer, you know,
yeah, singer-performer.
An artist, a musical artist, you know. He back in the day, he sang with a couple groups or just one? Was it just UBM?
Yeah, it was just United by Music, yeah.
Okay, so back in the day, you know, and we were reminiscing about all this stuff, you know, the music industry and all that from the late 90s, we were talking about that. But Kevin, you know, he has this background of music. And, you know, with Pitch Perfect 2 coming out, I mean, I'm pretty sure you saw Pitch Perfect.
Yes, I did.
You know, and the whole a cappella thing. And, you know, do you watch that TV show, The Sing Off?
I used to until I think they stopped it, to be honest. I couldn't find anything else. So
no, they still have it.
They do? See, I can't find no advertisers on it, so I got to look that up again. But yeah, Sing Off is my show.
Yeah, The Sing Off was great, you know, and if you like The Sing Off, you'll like Pitch Perfect. You like Pitch Perfect, you'll like The Sing Off. I mean, just music in general, that movie was great, you know, and it's good to see that there's going to be a sequel to it. Because to me, Pitch Perfect was kind of a sleeper. You know, yeah. I didn't know, you know, I didn't think about even watching it in the movies. I didn't see anything about it being in the movies, you know, any you know, posters or anything at the movie theaters. The way I heard about it was my cousin had posted, I think, on Facebook or Instagram. And so I wanted to check it out. So I just ended up watching it. And it was a dope movie.
Yeah, it was really dope.
How they really got these actresses and actors to be able to perform vocally when singing. It's just watching the making of it, you know, it's amazing. You know, they turned actors into artists. So, but yeah, they announced the sequel, the preview, and I mean, what's your take on it?
Well, on the sequel or the Pitch Perfect in general?
The sequel. I mean, okay. Let's say Pitch Perfect and Pitch Perfect. Let's start with the first movie.
Go ahead. Yeah, the first movie. I fell in love with the movie because it was just singing. Because I actually like anything that has singing in it, like from Little Shop of Horrors to, you know, to anything, the Grease, whatever. But why I liked this too was because of the characters. I mean, for me right now, Fat Amy's my hero. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah, like, she was just. Her humor is like our humor. Like, it's really dry, but like at the same time, really sarcastic. And I mean, she sold it for me. I mean, again, the singing is great. The only thing, and this is kind of like a spinoff off it, but I think his name is Tyler. He was the lead. Yeah, Skyler.
Skyler Aston?
Yeah. Skyler Aston. He went on to go do his own TV show.
I love that show. Ground Floor?
Yeah. So it was kind of cool to see how these actors and actresses were blossoming off of this. I would say the hidden success of this show,
right?
The fact that the renditions of a lot of the songs were great. Like, I mean, I love their humor. I mean, the sense of humor in it is not cheesy like you would think it would be. They had little moments, but I like the fact that they brought up like the Breakfast Club ending.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's like a classic ending. And they brought that up, and the mashups they do in the songs and stuff is like, it's really good. It's really got everything for you. I mean, even if you don't like singing and you like sense of humor, like Tammy, you know, the movie Tammy.
I did not see Tammy yet.
Oh, well, you know, the big girl in there. What's her name again?
I forgot her name.
Well, she played the girlfriend or the boy, you know, the wife to be in Hangover 3.
Yeah, Melissa McCarthy.
There you go, Melissa McCarthy. Well, if you like her sense of humor and her shows and stuff like that, this has it for it. You know, they got those little innuendos in there, a lot of jabs and stuff. It's like, man, it's funny. That's what I liked about it. It wasn't just cheesy like some shows are, you know. Because Glee's cheesy to me, even though I love that show. Even though I love the show, it is cheesy. It's not funny at all, really, to be honest with you. It's got a lot of good moments because I relate to it. In high school, I kind of like hid behind the fact that I try to thug out, I guess, because I don't want people to know I love singing, you know? because it wasn't cool. Now it's cool, and that's what I like about Pitch Perfect and how they're making part two. There is because it's people are embracing the fact that people like the music this way,
right?
And aren't afraid to sing. That's what's cool about it. I like that. I like that part. It's letting the youth be more open with what they enjoy.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
Pitch Perfect does that for me, man. It really does that for me because it allows people to have different backgrounds but still come together for one thing is music. So,
yeah, on that show with Skylar Astin. Yeah. So I'm taking you watch it, Ground Floor.
I watched it a couple times. Yeah. It's, okay. Like, you know, I get like we said. There's so many things we love to do. It's just one of those things that fall off a couple times. But I do watch it. Yeah.
Did you notice that there were two other cast members from Pitch Perfect on that show?
Yeah, I saw that. That's what I liked about it. They bring in people.
Yeah.
Still, you know, that's what's cool about that show. Cool about TBS in general, though.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that show today. I had to find out if they were still, because I follow Alexis Knapp. She played Stacy in Pitch Perfect.
All right, right.
She was the hot one.
Right.
And the freak, I guess. And I followed her on Instagram. And it just made me think about that show, and I was looking up Ground Floor to see if there's going to be a season two, and it starts on December 9th. So they got
they're doing a lot of promos for it right now.
I haven't watched much TV to catch to check that out, but yeah, I wouldn't doubt it. But you know, I was hoping, you know, I'm glad that they did renew a second season because you know it was an interesting show.
Right. It was just what was cool about. Skylar, I knew they were going to break him off somewhere. I just didn't know where.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm kind of glad they took him to a TV show because you can see more of his acting skills and his humor, sense of humor. Because, you know, he had to play that cheesy guy in the movie, you know, the guy that was the supportive boyfriend or, you know, the shy guy. The friend, he almost went to the friend zone.
Right.
Close. Because he was a nice guy, but then he got more sense of humor, got a little more racier. With the comedy and Ground Floor, and I like that. I mean, they got a good cast there.
Yeah,
especially
they do.
Especially the dude from Platoon.
Oh man, the boss.
Yeah. He's
that guy's hilarious. I forgot his name, the actor's name, but he's freaking hilarious on that show.
Yeah, I don't know if anybody, because I like war movies, you know.
Yeah,
and when he plays the sidekick to Behringer, and he's such a mm-hmm. punk.
Yeah.
He's a little punk, but then at this one, he's like cracking me up.
Yeah.
He is funny, man.
Yeah, that's John McGinley.
Yeah, there you go.
But yeah, he's hilarious in that show, man. It's funny. But so back to the Pitch Perfect thing, though, you know, the story, basically, it's weird because the story, you know, the Pitch Perfect one had a focus on Becca, right? And looking at the synopsis for it, it looks like it kind of changed a little bit. It focuses more, it does focus on Becca, but it also focuses on Fat Amy.
Right, right.
At least from what the synopsis said. But, you know, we'll have to wait and see when that comes out.
It's cool to hear that because, again, you know, Fat Amy wasn't even like a really strong, you know, counterpart in Pitch Perfect. She was just one of the add-ons as far as the character list goes, right?
Right, right.
But it's funny you say that because I think she's starting to get more popular with things. She has another TV show she does too. I know that too, right? She's in let me look at this up. But she's also in another
Rebel Wilson.
Yeah, she the one that plays Fat Amy.
Yeah, there's a show called Super Fun Night.
Yeah, so she has other things that she's been doing that I also believe that they're trying to write off of her fame too. Because you know, like again, Melissa McCarthy, right?
Mm-hmm.
She had like kind of like not even supporting actress roles, and all of a sudden she starts getting her own movie. I think Fat Amy's personality is great. I think she plays the kangaroo voice in some of these commercials I see.
Yeah, she does.
Right? That's her, right?
She does.
Yeah, so, I mean, her voice is just funny, especially when the burrito thing. That's hilarious.
Oh, the burrito in part one,
the bus. But yeah, so it's funny you say that, that they're actually kind of like bringing her more into the light of the season two, or Pitch Perfect 2, the sequel. So that's pretty cool. Yeah. I like, because I like her a lot. She delivers her characters well.
She does. She does. And, you know, I'm excited for this one. I love music. I love the a cappella scene, you know, with the sing-off and stuff like that. You know, just these guys and girls getting really creative, you know.
Right.
When they perform. So, you know, I can't wait for this movie to come out. I'm not sure the exact date, but it is next year. I think in springtime next year it's going to be out. So,
yeah,
you know, we'll be podcasting about it, giving a review, hopefully.
Hopefully we're going to have a date night and watch it together on Skype.
There you go. We can Skype each other in the theater.
Right. So, I'll have you on my phone and you have me on yours.
Yeah, so other news, you know, going on, as far as movies go, that's really one of the major ones that, you know, was announced this week. Music-wise, I don't see anything really.
Well, they got The Hobbit. Isn't that coming out in December, too, now?
Yeah, The Hobbit's coming up. Hunger Games, Mockingjay Part 1, came out this Friday. Yesterday. I haven't seen it yet. I wanted to see it this week, but we'll see if I have time, you know, to watch it. But I'm hearing good things about it. So
yeah.
I don't know if you've seen any of the Hunger Games stuff, but
I actually tried. It's funny. Okay, so I'm a hater sometimes when it comes to American renditions of things.
Right.
And I don't. I shouldn't be, because sometimes Western filmmakers do it better sometimes when it comes to theatrics and, you know, involving you more in the story. So I don't know if you know, but like Hunger Games is very similar to Battle Royale in Japan.
Yep.
So I didn't watch it, Hunger Games. So, but my cousin, he's a big Japanese. He's a real big international film buff. And he actually watched part two of The Hunger Games and was in love with it.
Right.
So I do got to get on that. That's one of my on my to-do list, is to get involved more in The Hunger Games. So I will watch it, even though I didn't want to. But just hearing that other people who love Battle Royale, the Japanese version of that kind of, you know, storyline, right, I will watch it, just because of the fact that he's very skeptical. He's anti-anything American-made. When it comes to, you know, recreating art like that. So, but yeah, that's coming out. So I did hear good things about it as far as the last one that they had. So I'm kind of excited about this.
Yeah, no, I saw Battle Royale after. I knew about Battle Royale from the get-go, but I hadn't seen it until after, I think, I watched the first Hunger Games. And it's really similar.
Really right. Similar.
I don't know, because, you know, Hunger Games is based off of a book.
Right.
Right? So I don't know if the author of that book, you know, because I don't read the book or anything, but I don't know if the author, you know, had watched or heard about Battle Royale, or it's just a coincidence that this is really, you know, a similar story.
Right, right.
But, yeah.
Yeah, it's hard to say, because, you know, I don't read books like that, man. If they say, well, the book was better, well, don't let me read it, because I don't have the time to read books. That's why I like to watch the movie version of everything.
Oh, yeah. Same here. I'm in the same way. Aside from, you know, Hunger Games coming out and all that stuff, is there Dumb and Dumber 2 came out last weekend.
Yeah. You got to watch that, too.
I went and saw that.
All right. So how did that go?
It went okay. It did have a lot of funny moments, which is cool. It's Jim Carrey, it's Dumb and Dumber, you know. It did have its funny moments, but I mean, honestly, they waited 20 years to make a sequel. I think that was too long of a wait to bring a sequel for that, the first one.
Okay.
Out. So, I mean, if I were to rate it, out of 10, I would give it like a 7 or 7.5.
Really, really?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't bad. It wasn't a bad movie, but it, you know, a lot of sequels these days, they're kind of the same story as the, you know, as the first movie, you know?
Right.
I can't figure out which one's like that right now off the top of my head, but there are a lot of movies like that where the story is exact, you know, pretty similar to the first one that came out. And
right.
With this one, it wasn't like that at all, which is good. That you get points for that, you know.
Right, right.
So it was funny. It's a movie good if you want a good comedy, you know, something to laugh at. Yeah, I would go check it out.
Yeah, I wanted to watch the trailer for it. Wow, that was mind blowing. Actually, Jim Carrey featured it, I think, on Jimmy Fallon's show, and. So Questlove from the Roots.
Right.
So after they showed the part where Jim Carrey, I guess, was trying to help the old lady in bed, and he pulls his hand out because she had a grip on it.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he blows his hand and a bunch
dust.
So they panned over to Questlove, and his face was like, you know, he had that O face, right?
Yeah.
And then Jim Carrey goes, "That's what we're going for." He was going all nuts on it because the whole audience was on their neck because right. He couldn't believe how far he went. So that's what made me want to watch it. That trailer was really strong. So I was worried that the trailer would be just funnier than the movie.
No.
So the expectations of the trailer carried through at least, right? At least it still stayed.
Right.
That's good.
What a coincidence, man. We're talking. I'm just gonna change it up a bit, but it's just funny because, you know, I had mentioned music earlier. If there's any good news on music and stuff like that, because you know we try to cover everything. And earlier yesterday, and I'm a few days late on it. I found out there was a new Bruno Mars song, and I let Kevin hear it earlier. And you know, it's got that old school funk to it.
Heck yeah, it's bad.
And I'm looking on the TV, and Saturday Night Live is on.
Oh, that's right.
And Bruno Mars is performing.
That's right. He was on tonight.
Yeah, and he's performing, I think, that same song. I have it on mute right now, so I'm sure the video will be on YouTube.
Yeah, we can't disclose that because then we'll just get pulled off the thing.
Yeah, but yes, Bruno Mars is killing it. You know, he just released this song called Uptown Funk. I believe that's what it's called. And, it's great. It's Bruno Mars. Dude's a good performer.
Yeah, he's...
He's doing big things, and he never fails when he releases a track out there to the public.
Yeah, he's really strong, and you ever see his... So, have you seen his performances with the...
Oh,
with
yeah.
With anything?
Oh, yeah. His
Golly, they're on point, man. Golly. Dude, they're on point. Golly, dude, they're on point.
Yeah, no, that's why his, you know, his concerts are so successful because he's a great performer. There's,
that's correct.
You know, there's, last year I had the opportunity to see Alicia Keys in concert, and the concert was great. I love Alicia Keys, and you know I rate her concert a 10 out of 10. But she's a music artist; she's not a performer.
Correct. Right.
You know, Bruno Mars is known to be a performer at his concerts. You know, and he sells out of his concerts just because of that. You know, everybody loves his music, the show he puts on. Last year, I went to a Taylor Swift concert as well, and hers performer, I mean, she blew it away. If I were to rate her concert, it would be like an 11 out of 10.
Wow. Only
because she interacts with the fans. Like in the very beginning of her concert, she comes out and, you know, there's a walkway, like, you know, like a fashion show walkway, and she walks down there and then it goes to the end. And this is at the very beginning of the concert. She walks right up to the end of the stage. and she takes her hat off and gives it to the person right in the front row, you know, so she interacts a lot.
Wow, that's good.
You know, and Bruno Mars is at that level.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what you go to these concerts for. You want to see great performances. You know, if all I wanted to do was hear you sing, I just, you know, have your music on my iPhone or my iPod, you know, but I want to go to a concert and I want to see you perform, not just sing.
Right. Because again, like you're right, because they have these unplugged sessions online all the time. They have like JBL or AOL used to do AOL sessions with the artists before.
You're right.
And you could still get those really live or in person. You want to belong to that performance.
Yes.
That's what I like about Bruno. What I like about Bruno Mars a lot, and so there's always this trend of like every 20, 30 years, a style comes back to life, right?
Right.
When it comes to clothing. Like I'm starting to see some of the 90s style now with kids. What's cool about Bruno Mars is he's so adapt to what music was before. And he's that artist now, like how the Temptations were, because I just saw the movie Temptations not too long ago, because they had it on BET. Well, coincidence, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they had the Temptations on. And I was like, wow, man, I really miss the class of these groups. You know, it's not always just music today is always talking about getting drunk in the club, even singers now.
Right.
They're talking about drunk in a club, getting tipsy, you know, girls, whatever. But Bruno Mars, he performs his songs with class at the same time. He perform, he brings it out. With just simple movements. Like, he has his whole group in there.
Yeah.
One thing I like about that, too, with Bruno Mars, I guess we were on that tip, is he has his homeboy that sings with him all the time. I don't know. You ever notice that guy with the glasses?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know if they're, like, best friends or something, but, dude, he's everywhere. If Bruno Mars is doing, like, an unplugged performance, that guy's still doing backup for him regardless.
All right.
You
know who else is at that level, too, is Justin Timberlake.
Oh, Justin, yeah, he's bar none one of my favorites as well. He's going up there.
Oh, another one too. I'm sorry, cut you off, but another one. And I don't know if you've seen. I never got to see her in concert, but I would have loved to. But I saw her performance or her concert on Stars, I think, and it's on Netflix now. Dope is Pink.
Oh, Pink, dude. So yeah. She does this thing. So Pink is bad. Everybody doesn't. I love Pink, man.
I do too. I think she's hot.
She does this song with one of the guys from Aerosmith. What's the lead singer of Aerosmith? It blew my mind right now. I can't think of his name.
Steven Tyler?
But she does this, yeah, she does a duet with him on one of her older albums.
Uh huh.
Mind blowing. It's blues. It's like blues, like bars blues style songs.
Right.
Kills it. Kills the Pink. I don't know if many people know, because they don't. Because when Pink first came out, she was, I think she was on her Babyface's label.
Yeah, she was in that R&B category. Yeah.
And then she finally broke out of that and blew up. But she was a dancer too. She's actually really good.
Right.
She did this. MTV used to do these tributes to artists before. And so one of them was Janet Jackson. They did a tribute to Janet Jackson.
Uh huh.
So it's funny you bring up Justin Timberlake. So NSYNC. Cover of one of Janet Jackson's songs. It was like a movie, one of her music videos they redid. And then Pink, Usher, and Maya did a dance tribute to her.
Okay.
And you can look that up on YouTube too. It's Pink, Usher, and Maya did a dance performance in honor for Janet Jackson in MTV. And it was bad. I mean, Pink can dance and sing.
Yeah, I'll have to check that out. Yeah, no, excuse me. Did you happen to see that, her concert?
No, I did not.
But
it's on Netflix, you said, you think?
Yeah, you have to check it out. Because, and all you listeners out there, if you have not seen it, you have to check it out. I caught Pink in concert. Well, not really concert. She opened up a few years ago for Justin Timberlake. I think when he did, I forgot what album it was. Not the last one. No, not that one. Oh. The one with Cry Me a River, I think. I forgot what album that was.
Anyways, okay.
She opened up for him, and she has this aerial performance that she does throughout her whole show. Well, she did when she opened up for Timberlake. She had this aerial performance, and in this concert that's on Netflix, she's on the ropes the whole time for the most part. You know, probably about 80% of her concert, she's flying through the air, jumping up and down, you know, stuff like that.
Like John Woo?
John Woo?
Yeah, like his martial arts.
Like his stuff?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just crazy, dude. Yeah. You have to check it out. It's worth it. Like, you could sit there and watch the whole thing just like, wow, amazing.
See, that's funny you say that, because we're talking about performers. So obviously, we're on this music tip, right? So I like to said you want to be you can hear singing any day you want, especially with Bruno Mars or anybody, but to perform your butt off is it really adds to your performance. And NSYNC did this routine where they were dancing behind TV screens.
Uh-huh.
And so anyways, my point is you these guys, you want to have like eye-gasms, you know what I mean, like the way they do their performance, like you can't believe they can do that while they're singing. That's what I like about these singers nowadays, is it's not about dancing no more and singing. It's blowing your mind when it comes to your performances. And that's what I like about a lot of these artists nowadays. So, well, not the nowadays, but the artists from back then, like Justin Timberlake and Pink, they know what's up, you know?
Yeah.
That's what I like. And Bruno Mars is very observant about that. So he knows I need to blow other people's mind or I'm going to be just another guy selling a single.
Yep.
And he ain't that guy.
Yeah. So we jumped off track, but you know, other things going on. I wanted to bring up one thing. It's kind of a food conversation. And and I think you saw it, Kevin, on my Facebook page, on my personal Facebook page. I did a little review of okay. So here we go. I'm gonna talk about it because I mentioned it on Facebook that I will be talking about it on our next recording. And you know, for those that don't know, I am a spam fanatic. Okay, I love spam. And there's a lot of people out there like, gross, nasty,
right.
This, you know, whatever, you know.
Screw you guys, right?
right. You know, you're missing out on a good thing. But Kevin is a vegan. He turned vegan. But I'm assuming you've had spam.
Oh, before. Man, I was a spam addict.
Okay.
For a long time.
Kevin's an Islander, so,
yes.
You know, I'm Filipino. I don't consider Filipinos Asian. I consider them Pacific Islanders. So
I agree.
Whatever. There's a lot of people that you guys are Asian. Whatever. You think what it's you want.
It's the Filipino. It's called the Philippine Islands, for God's sakes.
Right. And we are on the Pacific, right?
Come on. So, for real. Like.
So, the Islander side of me is spam, you know, and spam is a delicacy in Hawaii. And so they're starting to become different types of flavor spam, and I'm always on the hunt for them, you know, and I'm always willing to try different ones. A few months ago on the internet, you know, in the Filipino community, I guess, or just even the spam community, there were pictures being posted of this spam that was tocino flavored. So tocino is basically, you know, I guess you would call it some kind of bacon, breakfast bacon from the Philippines. It's pork, yeah. Or it's chicken, but the flavor, it's got this really sweet flavor. It's bomb.
Yes, it is.
And so there's a picture that surfaced of a spam can with the label tocino on it, and it looked completely legit. And you know, everybody looked on the internet, and I myself said, this is fake. You know, it's not real. I can't find it anywhere. I go to Seafood City, there's nothing at all. So my mom recently took a trip to the Philippines, and she sent me this picture, or she posted this picture online that first she went to, I believe, a place that's like Costco out there, and she posted a picture of a can of Ticino Spam. And that just blew me away. So I post back on Facebook. I'm like, you got to get me some of these, right? And so she brought back two cans. And, you know, I finally was able to crack one open the other day and cook it up and everything. And what's different about this for those that do prep up their Spam to eat and stuff like that, you know, normally I would take a regular can of Spam, chop it up, throw it on the pan, right? When you cook Ticino, you put some water in a pan, drop the Ticino in there, let the water boil, and just let it start cooking away. With the Ticino Spam, you have to do it the exact same way to get that exact same flavor. The texture on the Spam is a little bit different. It's more of, and like all the other flavored Spams, it's all the same. The texture's kind of off because, you know, it's just marinating in the can.
Right.
You know, so it softens up. But for those that haven't had it, and again, out here in the States, it's hard to find. You'd have to go to the Philippines or have a relative send it until they start releasing it out here. You have to try it. Just once, I would say. I labeled my top three on my Facebook post as far as, you know, my Spam, you know, goes. And there's your regular Spam. You have a 20% sodium or less sodium one. You have hickory smoke. There's bacon Spam. Excuse me. There's bacon Spam. I'm starting to, you know, feel like I'm drooling.
I see that.
there's bacon Spam. There's, what else is there? What the hell is that? Chorizo Spam.
Yep.
They have that. Teriyaki. You know, they have all sorts of flavors right now. And my top three would just be, number one would be my regular Spam. Number two is the bacon Spam. And number three would be that Ticino Spam. Because the bacon Spam is just, you can't top that as far as when they're flavored.
Right, right.
So I wanted to throw that in, you know, because I did mention on my post that I would bring it up on this, you know, this episode. And, you know, for you, Kev, you're vegan. I'm sorry you're, you know, yeah. I mean, yeah. I'm not sorry that you're vegan. That's good. You know, you're healthy and stuff.
Right, but, right.
You know, there are things that you're missing out on, brother. And
yeah, that's one of the things, because, so like you mentioned, I am an islander. And so my family, I live with family right now. And they have, you know, in our pantry, just Spam everywhere. So it makes it hard to be vegan for that purpose, because I love Spam, period.
Yep.
And I have not had Spam since I became vegan. So, but that's one of the things I was going to say. We got to probably do like a write a letter or a petition or something to Spam, the makers of Spam, and tell them we need a vegan version. So,
You know, and I'm sure they can make it.
I've had a lot of vegan delicacies that blew my mind when it came to it's vegan. The Grove in San Antonio, Texas, they make this vegan burger. And wow, it's like, it says it's bacon flavored. It literally is bacon flavored. I mean, I was mind blown. So that's why I'm not going, no, they can make some Spam, vegan Spam, if they can, dude.
Well, I mean, they have, and these are, I mean, again, I'm a huge Spam fan, but this is one thing I will not eat. Excuse me. Is, you know, when your folks go to Hawaii and stuff, or they go back to the islands and they come back with treats and stuff. They come back with macadamia nut flavor, or Spam flavored macadamia nuts.
Yeah, what's up with that? You see, have not tried that?
It's nasty. It's, yeah, it's nothing like Spam, you know.
Wow.
But if they can flavor macadamia nuts, I'm sure they can flavor something vegan.
Right. Because, you know, I've had vegan beef jerky. I actually had a really good friend in California send me some for my birthday. She sent me vegan burnt jerky. It's called called fake meats.
Okay.
And some of the stuff I had was like beef jerky. I was like, wow. And it was like tofu or temp. I think that's what they use. And I was like, what? If they can do this, they can really make some vegan spam, and that's what I would like.
Well, maybe we should start a petition.
That's what I was saying, bro. So let me ask you this. So how do you cut your regular spam? Do you thin slice it and sear it and then have it like a little soft in the middle but crispy on the outside? Or
For the most part. I mean, you know, I grew up where my mom would crack some eggs, put it in a bowl, soak the spam in it, and then toss it on a frying pan, you know?
What?
And, I mean, it's delicious, but I don't have time for that, so I slice it up, thin slices. I could probably get 15 to 20 thin slices.
Right.
Off one can. And then, you know, I just heat up the pan, throw it on, and let the, you know, let the edges crisp just a little bit, but, you know, not burnt or anything, but yeah, that's how I like it.
I like it burnt.
Yeah, see, I can't do burnt spam. I don't know.
It has actually a whole different flavor when you burn it.
Really?
Yeah, so like, so you have those guys who lightly grill it, or, you know, lightly pan sear it.
Right.
So it's always soft, but just a little lightly crusted. Then you got people who, like, you will crust them just enough to where their edges are, you know, crispier. And then you burn it, like I do. Like, it's like almost like a pork rind, kind of like burn, where it's like that dry. And each one has its own different flavor. It's crazy. Matter of fact, the burnt ones come out more saltier.
I'm about to go burn my spam tomorrow morning. Yeah. No, but, you know, speaking of saltier, is like, you know, this Tocino one. You know, spam is salty.
Yeah, it's actually, you know, really bad.
It's got a lot of sodium. And there is, with the Tocino one, you cannot taste the salt at all because it's so sweet.
Wow.
Yeah, it's weird. You know, it's cool, tastes good, but it's just like you can't taste the spam, which is fine because I love Tocino, and, you know, I want to try that out and see what it's like. If you could taste both, it's the best of both worlds, but,
right,
you know, it's good. So for those that haven't had it, because I posted a picture of it on, you know, me actually holding the can, all that good stuff to show that there's proof that it does exist.
Right. It's not a myth.
Right. And my Facebook, you know, blew up with folks asking, you know, where'd you get that? You know, how does it taste? Blah, blah, blah. You know, and because they don't, you know, again, they don't sell it out here.
Right, right. Yeah, that's crazy how they got to give it to spam. Is that, if there's one company or who listens to their audience, is the makers of spam, which is Hormel, right?
I think so.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that they know where the audience is and where people buy it, I mean, who does, if you're a company, you don't listen to your sales sheets, you're an idiot. But they know what to make. Like Tocino, right. Come on. I would have never thought that anybody would have done that.
Right.
So that's pretty. When I saw that picture, I thought you photoshopped that, to be honest.
Oh yeah, no, I mean that stuff's legit. I thought, you know, the whole time too, you know, I thought it was fake. So, like, no way, how the hell spam catering to Filipinos?
Exactly, that's my point.
You know, they cater to Mexicans and whites, and, you know, with the bacon and the chorizo, you know. Well,
even the health conscious light sodium.
Yeah, and all that, you know, and when you hear, like, I mean, can you imagine if they made for the Chinese community freaking orange chicken flavored spam?
That would be nuts.
Or Kung Pao spam, you know, just something like that. I mean, it'd just be crazy, you know. But you would get those folks like myself out there willing to try it. You know,
right. Yeah, that's crazy, man. You know, did you see the spam slicer that they have?
No, I haven't seen that.
So there's this company, or probably a Kickstarter type, you know, independent, made a spam slicer where it cuts it evenly all the time.
Oh, that'd be nice to see, to own.
Yeah, so look that up. It's a spam slicer. You just put the can down, you know, you take out the can, put on a slicer, one slice down. But there's like 8 or 8, probably 10 incisions One swipe down, you got like perfectly cut Spam.
Nice. Yeah.
I was like, really? That's the time I go vegan? This is the time you bring that up?
I know, right?
Do you know how much bigger I would be if I had that though?
Yep. So, but yeah, again, I wanted, excuse me, I wanted to drop that out there, you know, just to give something different for our listeners as well. But, you know, we want to cover just as much as we can. Like I've mentioned many, many times, you know, we want to cover as much as we can. And now we can finally sit there and, you know, after 45 minutes of discussing other things, we're gonna go ahead and we'll be talking about last week's episode of The Walking Dead.
All right.
That was
my favorite moment of our dot night.
Yeah, you know, we missed out last Sunday, so I think more than likely we'll be ending up recording tomorrow as well, just to catch up on our Walking Dead episodes. What episode was this, and what was it called?
Well, it was the one with Carol and Daryl, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So let me see here.
So we're looking at episode 6.
Yeah.
Called Consumed.
There you go.
Damn, my mic fell. Anyways, it was episode 6, Consumed, of season 5. It's funny because I'm looking at IMDb and, you know, it was already announced that there is a season 6. And they already started listing, you know, season 6 episodes. But there is, you know, no titles because the titles aren't out yet. But
right.
They already put season 6 as a selection on IMDb. We have two more episodes left of The Walking Dead. After tomorrow, there's only going to be one more until they hit their mid-season finale or their mid-season break. And then we're expected to have 8 more episodes returning February 8th of next year.
Right.
Which sucks. I like and don't like the fact that they do mid-season. I think it's cool. Gives you a break. Gives these actors a break and stuff like that. But, you know, you have a favorite show, you just don't want it to stop, you know. I believe Game of Thrones does a mid-season also.
Yeah.
They do. But, yeah, so let's talk about Consumed. You mentioned this was about this set of focus on Carol and Daryl.
Right.
You know, they are on the search for Beth. They want the story they were covering, you know, they were looking for Beth, because they're doing a lot of time stuff here in this season.
Yeah, jumping back and forth.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, this takes place from when earlier in the season they were at the church at the end of one of the episodes. I believe it might have been episode 2. No, episode 3. In episode 3, at the very end of episode 3, Daryl takes off with Carol to chase this car that was similar to the one that kidnapped Beth.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the episode, Daryl came back and Michonne was outside, and Daryl comes out of the bushes and she notices Carol's not there. And she asks, "Where's Carol?" And Daryl looks all upset and he says, "Come on out." And they cut it right then and there.
Right.
Rumor had it was that it was this character, Noah, which was, he was introduced in episode 4 when they moved forward, AMC moved forward with the story of Beth. So Noah was introduced. So the rumor was it was Noah that came out. And pretty much this last week's episode confirmed it.
Right.
So it started off. You know, again, this whole story on this episode, this whole thing is just Daryl and Carol looking for Beth. They do bring up a lot of flashbacks with Carol and storytelling between both of them, you know, about history on each other. You know, there's not really too much going on. There wasn't really a lot of stuff going on in this episode. It was good, don't get me wrong. But, you know, I don't know. I mean, what do you think about it?
Well, it's funny because, like, I like Daryl in this. And I, even though I know Daryl Carroll has something going on, probably more like a, I don't think it's a romance. That's me. But at the same time, it didn't do a lot for me at that time too, because I knew this wasn't that kind of episode to have action. Even though it did have a lot of good ones, to be honest.
It did.
I was actually amazed with that part. But this one did it for me, like how Beth and Daryl got to know each other, and why Daryl got so close to Beth.
Yeah, that's it's a because good point.
They had their one-on-one moment. And even though Daryl and Carol were real close, they never had a one-on-one moment until now.
Yeah, yeah.
This is their, not saying that they meant this to happen. It all happened because of fate or circumstance. But it was good. I like that. It was funny to see Daryl become his old self, though, when Noah got trapped.
Oh, and he said, like, leave him underneath the bookcase.
He was the old Daryl.
Right.
The real gung-ho, like, you know, I'm all about my family. Because Carol's family to him.
Yeah. And so
the reason why he was willing to let that kid die was because of Carol.
Right.
It really wasn't because of him. So that was pretty interesting to see that part.
So did you, there was a scene where Carol and Daryl were,
laying on the bunk?
Yeah, did you think they were going to get it on?
Nah.
I didn't either. That,
Because it's the way Daryl and Beth kind of connected in the last season.
Right.
And how he's so obsessed with her. I thought they would be more Beth and Daryl than it would be Carol and Daryl.
Yeah, we'll find out, though, because, you know, rumor has it that Beth won't make it past the mid-season finale.
Well, check this out. I'm just now reading on Inquisitor.com about the Tyler James Williams.
Yeah.
So this is like a possible spoiler. So Tyler James Williams was doing an interview with Entertainment Weekly's radio show on Sirius XM.
Right.
And he, you know, people, you know how when you go on an interview, everybody's trying to dig stuff out of you, trying to make you slip. So these actors are well-trained on how not to let things slip, right?
Right.
So I guess he made a comment about the season finale, the mid-season finale. It's quoted, Daryl has the last line. We have people too. So we need to go back, not just to get Beth, but to get Carol. So we're going to rally the troops and make an attempt. That's as far as I can tell you. So what's getting people, you know, riled up, and there's possible ramifications against that comment because it says an attempt.
Ah, yeah.
And that sounds like Carol and Daryl may not make it.
Yeah. I mean, I think they'll keep them, though. You know,
I possibly think that too. I don't think that's what Noah, you know, not Noah, but Tyler James Williams meant right by that line. Everybody reads into things too quickly or too much sometimes. Some people just don't know that we don't have another adverb or adjective to explain something. So right, we use a poor, obviously, you know, a bad choice of words, I guess you could say, but a lot of people are mad at the fact that it could be a possibility that they're not going to make. But yeah, like you said, I don't think Beth is going to make it because of the fact that, like I said, Beth is one of my favorite characters in it just because of her innocence in the world. And she still has hope for something better. She carries her father's hope. Right. When in season two, when Herschel was there, and he's like, we can, there is hope. The things will get better. That's why he kept all the walkers in the barn. Yeah. That's why I like Beth. She still had that kind of little hope. But the sad part of it, that episode didn't do anything for me. It pissed me off.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it,
I did get turned on, though, when Dawn slapped her, though. Can't lie there. I was like, ooh, cat fight. Yeah.
Yeah, no. It's, I don't know. I mean, it'll be interesting to see what happens, you know, in this next two. Who's going to survive, you know, through to the next part you know, next half of the season.
Right.
But
I'm curious about Eugene's situation right now.
I'm curious about his face because he got jacked up.
Yeah, because, you know, what's his name? He don't hold no punches, obviously.
So yeah, exactly.
So that way he knocked him down. But again, I keep bringing this. I don't keep bringing it, but I had to bring this up from the last episode we talked about. What's up with his left hand?
Oh yeah, we did talk about that, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
So did you notice that at all in some of the not the trailers, but I guess you could say episode trailers. You see them still focus on his hand?
No.
I don't know why that sticks out to me so much. I gotta find that out. I'm actually gonna research it tonight. Hopefully, I don't know what that left hand means, to be honest. Why they focus on him? Because I didn't notice he had his wedding ring on still.
All right.
So I don't know if that has anything to do with the fact that he's making whoopee with that
Rosita.
Rosita. I don't know if that has anything to do with it, but I don't know.
Yeah. So.
But since it's gonna be interesting, this one. This one will be pretty good because now we're getting closer to where we were left off two episodes ago. So I'm excited about that part. Yeah. I kind of missed the group already. I want them back. The side offs with Glenn and Maggie and Carol and Daryl and Beth. That was nice. But now I'm ready to see Rick and the squad come back. And plus, you know, Father Gabriel, I want to see what's going on with him.
Yeah, I'd like to see what's up with him too. You know, and we're gonna find out.
Yeah, we'll end up finding out.
So I mean, at the end of that, you know, at the end of that episode, you have Carol freaking gets plowed over.
Holy cow! Yeah,
one of the vehicles that with a cross on it, and you know, so now that reveals that she gets hit by the car. They put the guys in the car, put her in there, and that leads us to that episode 4, I think, Slab Town, where at the end, you know, Carol's seen rolling in a gurney. You know, Beth sees Carol rolling in a gurney. So that answers that.
Right.
And then, you know, you see Daryl trying to go after her, but Noah pulls him away and tells him to wait. Asks him if they have. Ask Daryl if he had more people or?
Yeah.
Daryl was like, "We got it," or whatever.
Yeah, we got people because he says you're gonna need people.
Yeah. So
that's all we got. That so.
Yeah. So that tells you they're gonna go back to the church, and that led up right to episode 3. So everything's starting to piece together now. You know, everything wasn't a mystery, but they're making the whole stories, each episode, pieced together to have probably lead up to the last episode of the, you know, the mid-season, the first half of the season.
Right, right. Yeah, I like the way they did it this time. It's really soap opera-like.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so different side stories that lead up to one big story. I like that. That was a little clever. I didn't notice they've been doing that too, though. Season 4, they did that a little bit too when the group split up.
Right.
At one point, I didn't realize that till now. Like, that's what they've been doing lately. So yeah, I'm kind of interested to see what's gonna happen, especially with Carol, because she was supposed to be on like a life support at the hospital, so or something. I remember the trailer talking about taking her off of the respirator. So, I mean, don't correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't know what exact medical term that is, or that device she was on. Right. And how the group will play into Father Gabriel. Is he going to be long-lasting? Is he going to be eaten before he even gets to the hospital? That'd be neat. I would really like to see that. That'd be really interesting to see what's going on. So episode, was that episode 5 tomorrow?
No, it's tomorrow's episode.
Yeah, what number is that tomorrow?
It's going to be 7. There's 8.
Okay, so 7.
So it's an 8 and 8 split.
So episode 7. That's I can't.
And that one's
can't believe
called,
it's already tomorrow.
That one's called Crossed.
Nice.
So I don't know. what's being crossed, but the...
That could be a big... Well, you know, crossed is the... Well, that's kind of funny because the hospital has a cross emblem.
Very true.
But then Father Gabriel carries the...
cross.
All right. So they're crossed. What? Did I just do that?
Yeah. No, I'm looking at the synopsis for it, though. It says, while Carl Michonne and Gabriel hold down the church, Rick takes a rescue mission to Atlanta. And Abraham's group deal with the fallout from Eugene's revelation. So it looks like Rick, Daryl, maybe Tyrese, Sasha, Noah, they all go back to Atlanta. Because Carl, Michonne, and Gabriel are still held back. And then, yeah, Abraham's group, now they got to deal with Eugene's lies. So we'll have to see what happens.
Yeah, I can't wait. This is going to be... I wonder if Abraham and them will make it back in time for the rally.
I don't know. You know what's interesting here, too? Here's what's interesting on... excuse me. On IMDb, if you look at the cast... The episode cast list, there's only 18 characters on here. And it's all the heavy hitters, of course. And then you got Emily Kinney. So she will be in here somehow. Maybe... Because you got Emily Kinney and Melissa McBride. So you we might see them two running into each other at the hospital.
Right. Well, I got a little spoiler for tomorrow's episode. Again, it's from Inquisitor.com.
Uh-huh.
So I'm reading a little bit about it, about Abraham and company. They're saying... They're not going to make it back to the church in time for the rally. So that I'm not going to watch tomorrow now. Forget it.
Wait, what did they say?
They're saying that they're not going to make it back in time to the church for the rally up to go get Beth and Carol.
No.
That's what they're saying. And so they're also saying there's going to be a flashback for Abe and Eugene on how they met Rosita.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
It should still be good.
No, it's still good. I thought it was gonna be good, because it says right here. So, let's see. I'm gonna quote it here, so that way we can see if it happens tomorrow. So the quote is here: is Maggie's gonna have a pretty badass moment.
Sweet.
So, that's what they said. Even though Abraham and company are gonna have a lot of action this week, in this episode, Maggie herself will have a moment. So, let's see if that quote's true. Let's see if we do see how they meet Rosita. I'm kind of curious about that.
Right.
I'm really curious about that.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. You know, I'm pretty sure I'll run into a spoiler sometime tomorrow. Excuse me, sometime midday. I'm going to be at an event tomorrow. But I'll be at an event tomorrow. But I'm going to try to make it back in time for Walking Dead.
And then you have your guys' chance to, I know, because everybody's looking forward to our review of the show.
Mm-hmm.
So make sure you tune in around midnight tomorrow night. Because it's going to take us that long to record it.
Yep. Who knows? I mean, we might be able to get an early session in. I don't know. Normally, Kevin and I, we just record right after. Right when Talking Dead is on, we mute our TVs and just go at it. So we may have an early upload of tomorrow's episode. I still need to do this one as well. So probably when I get back from, you know, my event, I will go ahead and work on editing this. There's not going to be too much editing, but I'll edit this and upload it. So the event tomorrow, I'm bringing up the event. We're going to close it out. For the most part, but the event that I'm bringing up, you know, I keep saying event, is the, you know, it's kind of too late to plug, only because this episode won't be up, but it will be the Kuya Model Expo that's taking place tomorrow, which is Sunday. Right. It's at the R1 Concepts Warehouse, I believe. And it's going to be a car show slash model expo holiday edition. So it's going to be a toy drive and stuff. I'll post, we'll talk about it and how it went and everything tomorrow. But I can't really plug it too much anymore because it's too late.
It's actually already happening. So, I mean, it's already set up, some stuff is going on. The one thing I do want to bring up is if you want, you know, info about it or, like, follow it at all, Kuya Model Expo, so hashtag Kuya Model Expo. It's got a lot of already posts on it already, about 836 posts. So it's something to follow while you're waiting for the Nerd Initiative to post images.
And you will see me in some of these images.
You know what? You can do me a favor. Take a picture of me or something and
Photoshop?
No, you don't have to Photoshop. You just have them hold up. Just like type out Heavy Cav or something and take a picture with it one time. That'd be nice.
Oh, I can all... Oh, yeah, dude. You know, I know these girls, so...
Yeah, so can I give you I can give you my logo and you can print it out.
I don't have a printer.
I can give you my logo anyways. You can put it on your... You have a tablet?
No, I mean, I can figure something out.
Yeah, just something. Or give me some name drop. Go to, you know, what's up, it's Heavy Kev. Go to heavykev.com or something. That'd be nice.
You want a plug?
Yeah, that'd be nice. A couple plugs, if you could. If it's possible. If not, a picture will always do good for me.
I mean, because trying to do some plugs. Try to get some of these girls to do some plugs so we can actually insert quote-unquote commercials, you know, or breaks in our podcast. I'm going to work on that. I'll see if I can get, you know, someone to do something. Maybe shoot for Christine Mendoza.
Yeah, that'd be anything, bro. I'm too busy.
Right.
Right now, because I don't have a lot of connections out here. If anybody listeners are from Washington area, connect with me. I need to start doing events myself.
Yeah, no. I could get actually one person, Jerry Lee. I can ask her.
Right, that'd be great, man. Anything.
She's a good friend, so.
But we'll connect on that at another level. Anyway, so Kuya Mata Expo tomorrow, Sunday at R1 Concepts Warehouse. It's going to be actually a pretty good event. They do this. This is not a one-time thing. This is actually annually. So,
actually, this is the I think this is the second one this year.
But it's not like they just do a one-time event and it never happens again.
Right.
This is actually regular. This is occurring.
Right.
So this is something to get. It can actually get bigger. The models are really plugging it too. So it's good. It's going to be a good event, I think.
Yeah, you know what? He's got some top-notch girls this year attending this show, and you know,
and they're not just local girls, they're actually coming in from a different state.
Yeah so you know, it's I know a couple girls from Vegas, you know, coming in and stuff like that, so it'll be interesting. I'll like Kev said, you know, check out the hashtags on Instagram or Twitter or whatever, and you should be able to find pictures of what's going on throughout the event. So, yeah. So, closing it out. Again, be sure to subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes. And, you know, follow us, like us on all social media pages. Subscribe to us on YouTube. And we also got Kevin's social medias out there. Just let him know real quick.
Yeah, if you want to follow me at all on any of my social media, I'm on all social media. It's Heavy Kev. Just look up It's Heavy Kev. I'm on Instagram, Twitter, Tumblr, Facebook, even Google+. And if you want my website, which has all my social media on there, it's heavykev.com. Just like it's spelled, heavykev.com.
Perfect. So thanks again, everybody, for listening and to those that have supported us on this. Be sure to share and like our page on Facebook. And yeah, we will do another episode tomorrow for sure. Hopefully nothing gets thrown in our faces where we have to postpone recording like this past week, but
right, we got some good planning. We can do this right now.
Yeah, you know, so we will be back tomorrow, or we will be back on the next episode, you know, and again, thank you, and we're good to go.
So, all right.
We're done.
Thank you.
Thank you.
There was an idea called the Nerd Initiative. The idea was to bring together a group of remarkable people, see if they could become something more. See if they could work together when we needed them.